Well, I want you to take your Bible tonight and go to the book of 2 Samuel and find chapter 16, if you will. And when you get there, stand up with us and we'll read from chapter 16. And I also want you to find chapter number 19. We're going to read out of these two texts this evening. If you're in love with your Bible, holler amen. I sure do love the Word of God. Good to see the Hendersons tonight. So thankful for them. The first time I met them personally was up in the southeast corner of Indiana. And you say, I didn't know God was up there. He's not. That's why we only went one time. Say amen right there. But that's where we met. And isn't it good? Isn't it amazing how God brings people into your life and thank God for what He does with them? 2 Samuel chapter 16, if you're there in your Bible, say amen. I'm going to read just a little bit, and then we're going to go to chapter 19. Let's look in verse number 1. Now, look at me before we start reading. David has fled the kingdom, for he is being contested by his son Absalom. And let me say this. When God gives you something, I ain't preaching yet, but it feels like I am. When God gives you something, God will make sure that it stays yours. David left the throne. He would not fight Absalom because though he was contested, he knew that God was still in control. David left the throne because he did not want to fight with Absalom. And when he left the throne, Mephibosheth, who is our character these days in our preaching, he was left in the kingdom. Now let's go to verse 1, chapter 16. When David was a little past the top of the hill, behold, Ziba, the servant of Mephibosheth, met him with a couple of asses saddled and upon them 200 loaves of bread. And 100 bunches of raisins, and 100 of summer fruits, and a bottle of wine. And the king said unto Ziba, what meanest thou by these? And Ziba said, the asses be for the king's household to ride on, and the bread and summer fruit for the young men to eat, and the wine that such as be faint in the wilderness may drink. And the king said, and where is thy master's son? And Ziba said unto the king, now he's fixing to tell a big fat lie. How many of you know if you serve God very long, somebody's going to come around behind you and tell a big fat lie? Well, didn't enough of y'all say amen? You may be the ones telling all the lies on everybody. I'm going to give you one more chance to identify yourself tonight. Don't be surprised if they start lying on you. Don't you know that Joseph died a convicted sex offender? Now, he didn't do it, but he was lied about. When Jesus went to the cross, they started paying folk to stand up and lie about Him. The devil is a liar, and don't be surprised when you're serving God with all you've got and somebody starts lying on you. Amen. Notice what he said, verse number 3. And he said, behold, he abideth at Jerusalem. For he said, today shall the house of Israel restore me the kingdom of my father. Mephibosheth never said such a thing. Verse 4, then said the king to Ziba, behold, thine are all that pertained unto Mephibosheth. Ziba said, I humbly beseech thee that I may find grace in thy sight, my lord, my king. Now look at me as we turn to chapter 19. Ziba has lied on Mephibosheth. David has taken everything that was Mephibosheth's and he gave it to Ziba. Isn't that what y'all read tonight? He took all of the blessing and said, I tell you what, you just take it since he left me. Well, Mephibosheth didn't leave him, but the decision had already been made. Let's go to chapter 19, verse number 24. And Mephibosheth, David now comes back to Jerusalem, and Mephibosheth, the son of Saul, came down to meet the king. I like this. And had neither dressed his feet, nor trimmed his beard, nor washed his clothes from the day the king departed until the day he came again in peace. It came to pass when he was come to Jerusalem to meet the king that the king said unto him, "Wherefore wentest not thou with me, Mephibosheth?" And he answered, "My lord, O king, my servant Ziba deceived me. For thy servant said, I will saddle me an ass that I may ride thereon and go to the king, because thy servant is lame. And he hath slandered thy servant unto my lord the king. But my lord the king is as an angel of God. Do therefore what is good in thine eyes. For all of my father's house were but dead men before my lord the king. Yet didst thou set thy servant among them that did eat at thine own table." What, I like this. "What right therefore have I yet to cry any more unto the king?" And the king said unto him, "Why speakest thou any more of thy matters? I have said, thou and Ziba divide the land." And Mephibosheth said unto the king, "Yea, let him take all, for as much as my lord the king is come again in peace unto his own house." Heavenly Father, I love you tonight, and I'm thankful that you have called us to this place. Lord, I know beyond any shadow of any doubt that the Word of God, this powerful, quick, sharp, two-edged sword that we have unsheathed tonight, longs to divide into our heart, separating the soul from the mind. It longs to get in the middle of who we are and help us become who we ought to be. God, I cannot do this without you. I do not want to do this without you. And I lie, God, on your hand, relying on you for a breeze, for a help that comes from on high. Help us now, Lord, and I'll praise you. And I'll thank you for everything you do in Jesus' name. God's people said, amen. You can be seated. We began looking last night at Mephibosheth. And how many of you can give me a good witness right here? Aren't you glad that when we look at Mephibosheth, we see ourselves? Are there any broken people in the building tonight? Anybody here that will testify that we came from the factory with some defects in us? When I look at the fallen condition of Mephibosheth and I look at the broken condition of Mephibosheth, I have no problem seeing myself in Mephibosheth. I understand that. But what I'm going to preach tonight with the help of the Holy Ghost is not necessarily something that I see in myself, but can I say it to you like this? It's something that I want to see in myself. How many of you know there's some things in that book that I can readily apply, but there's others that I will not know if I have arrived until the test of time has given me the final grade? I need a little bit more help than that right there. This is not a pass-fail sermon. This is one we'll still be taking 30 years from now. We looked last night at how he is fallen. And then we seen how he is forgiven. But I want to preach for a little while tonight on Mephibosheth, a faithful man. Can I say to you that there is no greater quality of a child of God than to be faithful? You may not be called to preach, and you may not have the ability to stand in front of others. Why, there's some of you, if we ask you to lead in silent prayer, you'd turn three shades of red and pass out. There's some of us can't sing a lick. I mean, can't carry a tune in a bucket. We just in the Joyful Noise Club. Y'all say amen.
We may not be able to preach, and we may not be able to sing, and we may not have great big bucket loads of money we can dump over into the work of God, but everyone sitting in this building tonight has the ability to be faithful. Do you realize that when we stand at the judgment seat of Christ, He is not going to judge us on how many of the notes we got right in the song. He is not going to judge us on how much everyone applauded and said amen when we preached. He is not going to pull our tithe record and compare it to somebody else's. He is going to judge us only on the merits of our faithfulness.
Faithfulness. Faithfulness. I travel all over this country and God's opened doors, and I preach from New York all the way to South Florida, all the way out west, all over this country. And one of the great blessings of going to a church is when you come in and you see new people. Can I get a witness right here? Ain't nothing will help a church like somebody getting saved who don't know anything about church. I like them kind. I like them kind don't know how to act. Y'all say amen. They liven it up real well. But I've come to a place that one of the greater blessings is not just seeing new faces, but oh, what a blessing it is when you go somewhere year after year after year and thank God there are some people who have decided to be faithful to God. It's a missing quality in this hour that we live, faithfulness. It's not noticed, it's not applauded, it's not celebrated. There is nobody to ooh and aah over the faithful ones, but it is our greatest calling, is just to abide faithful. Mephibosheth, last night, oh, I could holler amen, because I know all about that brokenness. I know all about that fallenness. I know all about that forgiveness. But what I'm preaching tonight is not something I have mastered. It's something that I'm asking God for. In our text, He is a faithful man. He's faithful. The king has left the throne. Mephibosheth is not able to go with him. But oh, thank God, in the king's absence, he has remained faithful. I want to show you three things tonight out of our text. That Mephibosheth's, listen to me carefully, his blessings caused him to remain faithful. How many of you know that it is the goodness of God that leadeth men to repentance? When the prodigal son was out in the hog pen, he didn't get up and head out of the hog pen because he was going back to get a whooping. He said, my father's servants have more than enough to spare. And here I am starving to death in a hog pen. It was the blessing of the father that provoked faithfulness in him. Won't you listen to me tonight? My worst day as a believer is better than my best day when I was lost and going to hell. I said, he's been real good to me. And I am blessed. And it is the blessing of God in Mephibosheth's life. It is the blessing of God in our life that should provoke faithfulness out of us. There's three things Mephibosheth shows me that I don't know if I've got them, but I hope I will one day. First of all, notice this. He was faithful. Glory. If I get happy and run out, the outline's up there. Somebody just finish it, all right? He is faithful on the days that he cannot see the king. Notice this. Notice this. The very first verse that we read, verse 24. The Bible said that he didn't take care of himself from the day the king departed until the day he came again in peace. May I say to you that an extraordinary amount of time has transpired here. There were months on end when Mephibosheth sat in the palace and Absalom sat on the throne. Somebody said, why did Mephibosheth not shave?
Why did he not dress his feet? Why did he not change his clothes? I'm here to tell you why. He wanted to be identified with the real king.
Let me just say tonight, we live in a world that does not bow to our king. I need more than three crusty amens right there.
I said we live in a world that does not acknowledge our king. They do not reverence our king. But I would like to stand with an old King James Bible in defiance of this world system and say, thank God, he may not be where you can see him. He may not be where you can hear him, but he's still my king. He's still my king, and I'm loyal to him.
Mephibosheth said, I ain't going to the table, I ain't hungry, because David's not there.
My king hadn't had a hot bath,
so don't draw me one neither.
My king is suffering in the wilderness. I'll not take my medical treatments today. I am going to be identified with my king.
Months transpire. David heads down in chapter 15. He leaves. He sends for the Ark of the Covenant. They bring it back. David goes up to Mount Olivet. He then moves to Bahurim. Absalom has set up a camp in Gilead. They pursue with the battle that took place in the woods of Ephraim. And a long time has transpired between chapter 15 and chapter 19. This was not a weekend getaway. It was day after day, week after week, and month after month. But Mephibosheth said, though there are days I cannot see him, I'll still abide faithful.
Now I'm going to need some honesty right here. If you don't want to, that'll be all right. I'll go ahead and testify for all of us. There are days when everything is perfect in my world. There are days when I'm skipping from cloud to cloud.
There are days when the blessings just drop like rain. There are days when it seems like God paves our way with goodness. But I've also got to testify that there are other days when I pray and it feels like the heavens are made out of brass.
There are days when I preach and I feel like I'm laboring in vain. There are hours when I feel like it's all hopeless. And there are times when I cannot see Him.
Well, that may be too honest. Maybe you got something I didn't get. But there's a lot of days when I don't see Him like I'd like to see Him.
There are a lot of days when I don't feel Him like I'd like to feel Him. There's a lot of times when I feel like Mephibosheth. He's still my king. I still love him, but I hadn't seen him in a while. That child of God is when we walk by faith and not by sight and just keep on keeping on.
There's some people serving God out of their emotion. And when they feel good, they're faithful to him. And when they feel bad, they pursue some avenue of happiness, only to come back on a rotation when they're ready to feel good at church again. Y'all don't know nobody like that, do you? That just happens down there where I pastor.
Let me tell you something. Your emotions are like a set of rubber crutches. They'll drop you right in the middle of the street.
We don't walk by our feelings. Listen to me. Hey, I'm going to preach tonight. We don't get up and go to church on Sunday morning because we feel like it. Amen goes right there.
We don't write a tithe check because we had some extra left over.
We don't serve God because everything's going the way we want it to. We do it because we are called to be faithful.
Faithful. Faithful. Faithful on the days that I cannot see Him.
Mephibosheth
going off of logic, had every reason in the world to change his commitment and loyalty over to Absalom. I mean, it looked like David had abandoned the post. Absalom was the favorite. The whole nation was rejoicing in this punk that had taken over the throne. And Mephibosheth looked like he should have gone with everybody else, but he remained faithful when he could not see him. Remember, Brother Ken, the first trip I ever took to Albania. We left the little city of Saranda. We drove up a little one lane, I mean not much wider than this aisleway. A little dirt road up the side of a cliff. And on that side was the sea, and on this side was a big green valley. Just dropped straight down that cliff. And there was a big green valley, a meadow. And all down in that meadow were flocks of sheep. I asked the Albanian guy that was with us, I said, "I see all the sheep down there." I said, "But where are the shepherds?" "I see the sheep, but I don't see nobody watching them." He said, "Pay attention on the side of this cliff." And as I looked over the cliff, hundreds of yards from those sheep, the shepherds sat perched up on that hill. Hey, glory. And he didn't even know his a-preaching, but his a-preaching. He said, "The shepherd will lead them to where he wants them to be. And then he'll take the high ground. And he's watching over them for wolves and predators." And then he said this, and I like to tore up the back seat. He said, "You see, sir, the sheep don't have to see the shepherd." Hey, glory. He said the sheep don't have to see the shepherd as long as the shepherd can see the sheep. Oh, I'm here to tell you tonight, there's a lot of days when I cannot see him. There's a lot of days when I don't know where he is. But thank God, he's never lost track of me yet. Mephibosheth, you may not be able to see him, but he's still the king. That's still his throne. And everything's still going to be all right. When I was in high school, we had a class. They come by and offered us a photography class. And I didn't care nothing about photography, but I found out we could get out of regular school early. Somebody say amen. I said, "Sign me up. Pray. I don't care if we're making gingerbread houses. I want in on that. Whatever it is, I don't care. If it gets me out of here." And so they outfitted us with cameras and they sent us off to take pictures of all these things. And we brought the film back. And this was 35 millimeter. This is before digital cameras. Somebody say amen. They sent us out to take pictures of dinosaurs and stuff. Y'all say amen right there. We brought that film back. And they carried us down to a dark room. Anybody know what a dark room is? In the dark room, glory, I'm having me a time tonight. In the dark room is where the picture is developed. Oh, hallelujah. They were taken on bright sunny days. They were taken in beautiful environments. The snapshot occurred in the beautiful setting of the sun or in the beautiful light of a museum, but the picture was developed in the dark room. And that teacher took us in there and turned that light off on black and whites. They turned on a little red light and we'd work it in the water and develop. But when you made the color pictures, it had to be completely black in that room. And after the developing process, oh glory, what had been developed in the dark would survive in the daylight. And there's somebody here tonight that you feel like God has abandoned you. You feel like God has walked away. You feel like He's broke His end of the bargain. Honey, I came to tell you, He's still the King. It's still His throne. But He is developing you in the darkness. And on the days when I cannot see Him, on the days when I cannot look at Him. I want to be found faithful. How many of you remember being a youngin' and how good you acted when Mom and Daddy was at home? But you let Mama and Daddy go to town at the same time, it's martial law. I'm talking about every man for himself. And I was raised before cell phones. When Mom and Daddy left, it was a free-for-all. It's hard to get evidence back in them days, y'all. Now they're just a call away, praise God. I'm talking about we had free reign when they seen that station wagon go to Buck's Pocket Road and take a right. We lived up in the hills of South Tennessee and we didn't have nothing but a cornfield for a neighbor, and closest folks to us was about a mile down the road, and we didn't have television, we didn't have cable TV, none of that. Mom and Daddy left to go out of town for about 2 days. Me and my brothers, they left us with our older sister. We figured we'd just tie her up there in a closet somewhere and deal with that later. One of them said, you know what'd be fun? He said, it'd be fun if we'd go over in that cornfield and get them corn stalks and just build a big old teepee right in the middle of the dirt road and watch cars drive by and try to get around it. See, that's what you do when you don't have Google and all that stuff. Well, that sounded like the best thing I'd ever heard of. So we went to work. We went over there dragging corn stalks out, and we lived on a little one-lane road, and we went to stacking them up like a teepee. I mean, we had that thing. The whole Cherokee Nation could have come back for a reunion in that teepee of corn stalks. We heard gravel popping, and we ran over, and we got in the ditch, and we was peeking out. And I cannot tell you what sorrow enveloped when we realized that black station wagon had turned around because Mama had left her makeup bag at the house. Brother Kid, when we was building that teepee, I just seen some truck running through it and all of us are laughing. I envisioned our old neighbor lady coming through there, that old car, and just having to run it over, and all of us just a horse laughing. But when that black station wagon turned the corner, he didn't slow down. He didn't say, I mean, he ran through that thing like a wrecking ball. And it was not nearly as much fun as I had thought it was going to be. And when don't nobody live within 5 miles, it don't take CSI to figure out who built the teepee in the road. Boy, we had to come to Jesus meeting. You know what we learned that day? Daddy may leave the house, but he's still Daddy. You may not be able to see him, but oh, he's coming back one of these days. I need some help right there. He's coming back one of these days. And when he comes back, he's still going to be who he always was. And we better acknowledge him to be the King and the Lord and the authority of our life. Mephibosheth sat up there in that room, old scruffy beard. He's beginning to stink, old dirty clothes, his wounds going unkempt, and everybody else running around acting like Absalom's the stuff. And Mephibosheth said, y'all better act right. You better not move that table. You better not rearrange the furniture. Don't you go to ordering drapes yet. He's still the King. This is still his place. And though I can't see him, he's coming back one day. It's real easy sometimes to live like he's gone on vacation. Like he's gone on vacation. But he's still God. And he's still in control. And the eyes of the Lord roam to and fro, and he sees every action of every man. And he's still the King. And Brother Ken, on the days when I can't see him, I want to be found faithful.
Number two, watch this. Not only on the days that I can't see Him, but notice this. I want to be found faithful when He makes decisions that I can't understand. Mephibosheth was faithful when there were days that he couldn't see Him. But Mephibosheth, I told y'all last night, I fit that piece of the puzzle. I'm still working on this one. Mephibosheth was faithful when the king made decisions that he couldn't understand. You remember what we read tonight? Ziba goes marching down to David. Said, I brought you some cheese, and I brought you some wine, and I brought you some fresh horses, and I brought you some bread. Is there anything else I can do for you? And David said, oh, what a great man, Ziba is. Where's Mephibosheth? And Ziba lied and said, Mephibosheth done turned on you. He's up here right now hoping Absalom dies so he can have the throne. And David, in a moment of haste, listen to me now. David, in a moment of haste, said, all right, if that's how it's going to be, Ziba, I want you to have everything that I gave to Mephibosheth. And everything that Mephibosheth had was taken away in one word from the king's mouth. No doubt Ziba went back to the palace, said, Mephibosheth, there's been a change in the line of command. I've just left David, and everything that you had, he said, I can have. And I ain't taking orders from you no more. And you've lost it all. Bud, you're in a mess. If I was you, I'd start packing my bags, because when David gets back, he ain't going to be happy. Mephibosheth said, well, I don't know where I'd go if I packed them. Because everything I had belonged to somebody else in Lodabar. I didn't even have my own place in Lodabar. I was down there bumming off somebody in a back bedroom just trying to hide out. And I could pack up what I've got, but I ain't got nowhere to go. I think I'll just sit here and wait on the king. And I'll tell you what I'll do. You can have all that stuff. I'll just trust in His mercy. And now Mephibosheth sits in that room and he can't see David. And David's made some decisions that Mephibosheth can't understand. But thank God he remained faithful. Let's just take a little survey tonight. How many of you will agree with me that in serving the Lord, occasionally, He makes some decisions that we don't understand. And for the rest of you, this altar is open for liars just any time you want to come and pray. I'm loving Him. I'm serving Him. He brought me here. He gave me that. And now He's going to turn around and give it to somebody else? Why would He do that? There are decisions that God makes that I don't understand. I think too many of us are caught up in the reason why. We want to know why is God doing this and why is God doing that. I'll tell you why He's doing it. Because He's God and He can. I'm going to say that again. Because He's God and He can. I've stood by coffins that were way too small and put them in the ground way too deep. And hug parents that were way too young to be burying a baby. And we don't know why. I've stood in the hospital with saints of God. And the diagnosis did not come back cured. It came back terminal. And we say, oh God, we don't know why You would do that. I've had friends that I invested my life in turn on me like a rabid dog and snap my hand off. The same hand that reached out to it and helped pull them up out of hell, and they turn on it on a dime. And you go home broken, and the folks that should have been with you are now against you. and you fall out on your bed and you weep till you pass out and you wake up sick to your stomach and you say, God, why? And you never hear an answer. Anybody ever been there? But Mephibosheth teaches us that when he makes decisions we don't understand, just to be faithful. Job is sitting at home one day, the wealthiest man in the world. And before the sun set, he had lost everything that he had. His children, his health, his wealth, the loyalty of his wife. And the God that gave it to him made some decisions that Job didn't understand. But Job backed up and said, naked came I out of my mother's womb, and naked shall I return thither. The Lord gave, and the Lord hath taken away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. And I want to be faithful when he makes decisions that I don't understand. Do you notice what Mephibosheth said in our text? David said, I done give it all away. It's gone. Mephibosheth said, verse 28. Verse 27, he said, my Lord the King is as an angel of God. Don't sound much like a bitter man, does it? He said in verse 28, for all my father's house were but dead men before the Lord. Yet thou set thy servant among them that did eat at thine own table. And what right therefore have I yet to cry any more unto the King? Now, I just stop and say this tonight. I just want to say this tonight. Our praises ought to be more than what's on our prayer request list. I wonder tonight, I wonder how many of us get spiritual amnesia. God will do something for us that is miraculous. It is earth-shaking. It's got the signature of God all over it. But before it's even done, we forgot and we're already crying about something else that God hadn't handled yet. Don't you realize tonight how many of your prayer requests could have went the other way, but God showed up and turned it around. Hey, it could have went that way, but God sent it that way. It could have fell apart, but God held it together. Mephibosheth said, I know you took it all. He said, but what right do I have to cry to you anymore? And I like what he said. He said, you know, the only thing that matters, only thing that matters is that you're back on the throne. You know what Mephibosheth understood? Is that he had been adopted as a son. Oh, glory! He had been adopted as a son. And hey, and everything that the father had, he had given to his sons. And Mephibosheth knew, I may have lost what Saul had. I may have lost the farm in the country. I may have lost them wheat fields on the outside of town. But as long as the King is still on the throne, I'm not going to go hungry. I'll not go without a roof over my head because my Father is doing all right. Look at me tonight. You and I may lose the blessings, temporary, tangible, touchable blessings. Truth of the matter is, long as our Father's still on the throne, everything's going to be all right. And He may make decisions I don't understand. And when He does, you know what I want to do? I told y'all I ain't got this one down yet. I'm working on it. You know what I want to do? I just want to be found faithful. I want to be found sitting in my room without my stuff, saying I'm waiting on Him to get back. I want to be found faithful. There are days I can't see Him. There are decisions that I don't understand. I'll give you my third one. Watch this. And I want to be found faithful like Mephibosheth Because there are debts that I could never repay. Woo! Glory. Hallelujah. Is that as good out there as it is up here? Watch this. I love verse number 30. Verse 29 and 30. I love this. Oh God, open it up for us. The king said unto him, why speakest thou any more of the matter? David said, why are we even talking about this? I told you I done give it away. Verse number 30. Mephibosheth said unto the king, yea, let him take all. The first chapter we read, David gave it all to Ziba. But when he reconciled, Mephibosheth said, I tell you what, I'll let y'all split it. Mephibosheth said, I tell you what, I don't want none of it anyhow. Yeah. Glory. Yeah. He said, David, I'll tell you why, he can just keep it all. Because I don't want you to think I've been hanging around here because of your stuff. He said, let him take it all. I ain't interested in that stuff. I just want to sit at the same table you sit at. He said, David, I ain't hanging out of here because of all the things you've given me. I'm hanging around here because I was a dead dog in a loaded bar, starving to death, broken and in line for judgment. But you loved me and you lifted me and you let me sit at your table. He said, let him keep it all. I don't want none of it. I just want you to know that I'm glad you're still on the throne. Hallelujah. That'd make a Lutheran rip their choir robe shouting right there. That's so good it'd make a Southern Baptist deacon nod his head. He's faithful because there was a debt that he knew he couldn't repay. I was reading on this, studying on this, and I found this little story. When Ronald Reagan was president and our embassy was attacked in Beirut, over 160 American lives were lost. And in that attack on our country, many soldiers that were there were blindsided and injured. A general in the United States Marines, General Paul Kelly, went to visit a military hospital. And as he was making his rounds through that hospital, he came upon the bed of a young man that had been blown up in that embassy, a young Marine soldier. According to the story that I read, General Kelly approached the young man's bed and he had a drain tube coming out of his brain to keep the swelling down. Had a feeding tube in his stomach because his mouth had been blown up. Had an oxygen line inserted to keep his lungs filled with air. I'm talking about everything that could have been blown up was blown up. General Kelly stood by the bed of that young man, had wires and tubes running out of it, looked like an experimental guinea pig. And that boy lay in that bed, and that general stood beside him, put his hand up on the shoulder of that young soldier. He said, son, I want to thank you for your service to our country. And I want to thank you for being willing to pay the ultimate price to defend our country. The young man who couldn't speak motioned for a pen in motion and a writing motion. They brought him a pen and a piece of paper. And he began to scribble down two words. And he handed that note to the general. And that hard military man began to cry and tears traced his face. And that young soldier had written these words, Semper Fi. You know what that means? Always faithful. Always faithful. And I wonder tonight how many of us in the kingdom of God have been blown up and blindsided and blasted and left for dead. But I wonder if we'd have enough commitment to the God of glory to just say, always faithful. Back before Christmas, come on, Brother Brandon. Back before Christmas, the week of, a little church up the road from us, and they were having some singing, having a concert of sorts, and my wife, my little boy wanted to go, and So we loaded up and we went, and they had some singing that was good. And at the end of the singing, they had a fella there. You may have heard of him. His name is Coach Jeremy Williams. If you know who that is, let me see your hand. Anybody? Anybody? Coach Williams. Hey, y'all ever seen that show, Extreme Home Makeover? You know, where they go to somebody's old dumpy house and they fix it up, or they build them a new one and they give it back to them. I've applied 3 times. They said, no such luck, pal. Go to Lowe's. Fix it yourself. He was on that show, Coach Williams was. Coach down there, I think it's Greenville High School. It's from Columbus. And Coach Williams, when they rebuilt his house, he had Lou Gehrig's disease. Has it. And if you know anything about that, when they filmed the show, he looked as able-bodied as anybody in here. Walk, talk, do everything. But Lou Gehrig's is a disease that slowly takes over your body. And it cripples you slowly. One ability at a time. I sat Christmas week in a little old log cabin church, and they got through singing, and Coach Williams was sitting on the side in a wheelchair. He's lost every ability to move any part of his body. Can't move his neck, can't move his arms, can't move his fingers, can't move his legs. Completely paralyzed. He's lost the ability to speak. That voice that used to yell at high school boys on a ball field can no longer even make a grunt. And he sits frozen. He can move his eyes. He can smile. That's it. He sat on the side of that church that night. He's in that wheelchair. And he had a great big iPad mounted in front of him. It's amazing. It had a screen on it like you would on your phone when you're texting. And it has retinal recognition. And he can look at the words or the letters on that screen, the letters, and begin to type a word with his eyes just looking at it, and it knows where he's looking. And then it'll bring up the word, and he can look at that word, and it brings it up to the top. And he can speak through that iPad. And then that, you know, that computer voice, that electronic voice, it'll speak out of that iPad what it is he's just written with his eyes. Completely paralyzed. His precious wife, since he has come down with Lou Gehrig's, his precious wife has just gone through cancer and was still taking chemo treatments at Christmas time. He's got a son that's got muscular dystrophy. 14-year-old boy stuck in a wheelchair. How many of y'all's bad day just got a whole lot better? And they said, it's time now for Coach Williams to come. He's going to speak to us. And his precious little old wife with chemo still in her veins rolled that wheelchair to the front. Turned it around, backed it up. And he sat there with no ability to move. And he looked on the iPad and told it to start speaking what he had written out. And that man who can no longer talk or move, began to preach to that crowd that I was in on faithfulness, on commitment, on dedication, on sticking with God through the good and the bad. And I sat there in my seat and whine about low attendance on Sunday. Cry about the aches and pains of life. And this man who could only move his eyes and his mouth is preaching to me about being faithful to God. There came a part in his sermon where he's asking people to give their life to Christ. In a wheelchair, completely paralyzed like a concrete statue. And when he got to that part of his sermon, Brother Ken, great big old tears. And his face winced up and just wept as that iPad read out what he had typed with his eyes. I wonder tonight if God came and took everything you had put it all in a box, and gave it to somebody else. And then hid himself. And one day turned into a week, and one week turned into two. I wonder, would we like Mephibosheth sit in our room and say, I can't see him. And I don't know why he's doing what he's doing. But all I can do is be faithful. Be faithful. I told you, some things I see in Mephibosheth that I know I am broken. Better, oh, I'm much better. But am I blessed enough that I would be faithful in those circumstances? I can't answer that tonight. I don't know what I'd do, but I know what I'd like to do. I know what I hope I'd do. I hope I'd be found faithful. I want you to stand up with me, and I think it'd be a real good.